This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk. In association with bizradio.co.uk. That was the news, nothing happening. Nothing.
Well, there is, but you don't want to talk about
it. I'm not talking about it. I'm just bored with the whole damn thing.
You might get banned.
Yeah, I'm just the whole...
From the whole, bored with the whole media.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
Can I just go back to our MD, Richard, that's in the room?
Yeah.
Or in the studio. Richard, you're there.
Yeah.
KO Howe has gone up on Twitter, so they've put it up. So the Eventbrite page is on there.
Okay.
So just go on to... it's got our hashtag #BBunker, so go on to that, and you can see it as well. So it's
okay, or give them a follow, which is KO underscore Twitter.
It is.
KO underscore digital.
That's K-A-Y-O.
Wait, O. Yeah. And you find it there, and I'll put the link on the Business Bunker Radio website later.
That's how good your team are.
Yeah, yeah, they're right on the ball, aren't
Boom.
They?
Boom.
Don't tell them.
No, they tell him. They go, Richard, we've told you three times this, mate. We'll put it up on Twitter so you can remember.
Yeah, yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
I love the fact that
something happens to me, I know.
I might be at Tech Expo, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just get sent there.
I just told where to
so,
go.
KO Digital, could you tell us if he is at Tech Expo on when on Thursday, please? And what stand you're on? That'd be really good.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens of Caring Kent, and she says, I would really love a beautiful Business Bunker shout out for my care team to say congratulations. We had such a blast at the Kent Care Awards last Friday. Today they are looking after everything and making sure carers and support workers get safely to vulnerable people in Southeast Kent. Of course they deserve a massive shout out. We love you and what you do and your people. They look after people in their homes. So give Kim a follow on Care from Kent. Care in Kent, sorry. What you got, Bird?
Well, Lemon Creative, who we had on ages ago, it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
They've put great guest, Pastor King Jame 1. They didn't put an S on it. It says Jame, J-A-M-E.
No, that's right. That's his Twitter handle.
Wow.
Tweeted,
yeah,
you
they
ran
couldn't
out of
handle
numbers.
It, could
yeah,
they?
You ran out of numbers, yeah.
No. Anyway, and then we've got Simon talking about King Summit and see you there. So please give us a Business Bunker shout out, a Lemon Creative UK, and then our finalists in the Solutions Awards environment category for our beautiful packaging. And it is beautiful.
Mm. A packaging specialist, packaging design specialist.
They are.
Lemon. Fantastic. I've had the Romney Resource Centre tweet. You guys are having a fantastic show today. We want to thank all of our supporters and funders. Without their help, we wouldn't be able to continue our work providing training and education opportunities to people in the communities of the Romney Marsh. So thank you for that. And do give them a follow. Romney Resource is their Twitter handle.
You want me to talk again?
Yeah, go on.
Well, I was actually just looking at Michaela Wayne because I spelt it wrong. I was like, I can't find her. And I really loved listening to her. And interesting enough, what she was saying about Piers Morgan this morning, very interesting.
Mm.
Why do they do it? Why do broadcasters do it that they feel... I mean, we poke the bear,
yeah,
but we poke the bear about subjects. We don't go into people. We've got a great intention to actually discover and unfold and be curious about knowledge and wisdom. But I don't need to put anybody down, do we? I don't get it.
It's clear.
I don't
social
get it.
Media.
Yeah, it's boring.
Social media, because when you go on social media, what you see is that Piers destroys...
Yeah. Yeah,
it's clickbait.
It's nonsense.
The whole thing is clickbait.
And he's just boring anyway, isn't he? I'm sorry, Piers, but you are. So there you go. Am I allowed to say that on the show?
Yeah, you are, but you're never getting invited on Good Morning Britain.
He will want me on there when he's got my books underneath his belt, I tell you.
Yeah.
It's true, and he'll want to come on my podcast, I tell you.
He will. We're talking about that. Have you got a show tomorrow?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Who have I got on tomorrow? Oh, I've got a second visit from a guest, and I very rarely do this, but it's the conversation tomorrow on Channel Radio.
At 1 o'clock,
1 till 2. And it's always really looking at the whole of business and the whole of people rather than just, like on this show here, we just talk purely about business. But I want to know, so like Richard, if you came on, I want to know why you do what you do. I'd want to go deep into what helped you make those decisions and show people the pathway of knowledge rather than just looking at business. So tomorrow we've got a company called Rock Solid, and they are a, for all intents and purposes, husband and wife personal fitness company. But they're doing a bit of a health tour, and they actually spoke to me and went, Bird, are you still doing your show? This makes me laugh. I said, yep. So 3 years on, I'm still doing the show. And they were like right in the beginning, with the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And they wanted to come back on and talk about where their business is developed now and how they've developed in the business as well.
And what's so nice?
Rock Solid. So that's Laura and Barry Ash.
Laura, I thought it was. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very interesting. And where they've developed and grown into where they think the business should be going, which I always like. I like to see where the pathway leads you and what's their outcome. What do they want? So that's who I've got on.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Marsh Networking over coffee. The next running is the 2nd of October, 10 a.m. to 12 GMT at the Cinqport Arms. That's in the High Street near Romney. If you want to book onto it, it's marshnetwork.co.uk.
Well, I've got an add-on to that as well. So I've got Marsh Breakfast Networking. That's the 26th of September, 24th of October, 28th of November. And that's from 7.45 till 9.15. That's the Ship Inn at Dymchurch. And again, here it is, www.marshnetwork.co.uk.
Fantastic. Help bridge the gap between schools and business. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through the Skills 3030 programme. It's a two-hour event. Businesses hear from a local authority, an apprenticeship organiser, relevant recruitment groups and the Federation of Small Business, while students take part in an employment-related workshop. Then both groups get together for facilitated speed networking. The whole thing is designed to get young people in school, primarily A-level students, a better understanding of the world of work, but it's also designed for people that own businesses to get a better understanding of Generation Z. So it's a two-way street. We've now been running the programme 3030 for 3 years. We've had 1,120 students through the programme. It's completely free. And tomorrow we're at the Haysbrook School in Tunbridge. 9 o'clock. If you want to come along as a business, you can come along. We like to have between 20 and 30 businesses there. And they, well, I was going to say we have normally 30 students. At the last one, there was 70, which was a bit big. But we try to keep it manageable. It's great fun. It's really good fun meeting the students and finding out what their thoughts are about the world of work, as well as giving you an opportunity as a business to tell both students and their teachers what it is as businesses we require from young people coming into the workplace. So tomorrow is the next one. If you can't make that, we're on the 20th of November. We're at the Longfield Academy in Dartford. And then next year, there's two or three already lined up. If you run a school or you're a school governor or a parent, get in touch with us because it is totally free. It ticks all your Gatsby benchmarks if you're a school in one hit. So there's, you know, nothing to be afraid of. It's really good fun. And you're going to get to meet at least 20 local businesses from your area. And we'll do these anywhere you want in Kent and Medway. So do get in touch and come along tomorrow to the Haysbrook School if you want to get involved as a business.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
What is Generation Z? Excuse my ignorance.
It's people born after the year 2000, and they're just entering the workforce at the moment.
So that's 19-year-olds.
So yeah. It's nothing to do with zombies?
Yeah. No. No.
Okay.
And they're far from zombies, actually.
Actually, they're a really interesting group if you look at the difference between them and the millennials.
And the millennials.
Yeah, they've completely radically changed their approach.
Absolutely.
When we talk to them in schools, when we started this programme, I always start the programme by asking what people think they want to do. And when we started the programme, about 60 to 70% of the students would put their hands up and say they wanted to go to university. Now, about 60% of them say they want to do an apprenticeship. Mm. Yeah, and about 10 to 15% are still doing university, and the rest don't know, obviously. Mm. So there's been a complete turnaround. And what we find, and this is a generalisation, but what we find with Generation Z is they're much more work aware than millennials. Mm. They're much more conservative, with a small c, than millennials. Interesting group of young people. And
I was going to come to that to ask you why that change. Why? Mm. What happened?
It's a really good question.
Yeah.
I suspect, knowing young people, it's just that we all like to be different. and we all kick against convention, don't we? And I think that Generation Z have looked at their at their millennial forebearers and gone, I'm not going to be like that.
I have an opinion to that.
Yeah.
I think social media.
Yeah.
Because with social media, yes, you could have a lot of things that doesn't help.
Yeah.
But also in social media, a lot of training and education has gone to social media.
Yeah.
We're catching a lot of the Generation Z on Facebook, YouTube,
yeah,
and Twitter. So we're teaching them that now and there.
Yeah.
So they're learning a lot. I mean, my son watch a lot of YouTube, but sometimes when I watch what he's watching, although it's a lot of the Generation Z, but most of the things you're talking is about actually how to better yourself, how to do good, So a lot of education is going in there. Of course, there's a lot of also time wasting, but the millennials didn't have that. I think they missed out. What they had, the early stage of social media for the millennials, there was just about just fun, watching maybe music or games and things that.
The millennials were the gamer generation, really, weren't they? Yeah. And you're absolutely right, King. Mm. It's interesting when you talk to Gen Z as well about work and what they do, that they because they have a fundamental DNA level attachment with technology.
Yeah.
They tend to recognise it. I overheard a brilliant conversation between a businessman and a young guy, and the young guy was actually taking the mickey, really. Yeah, you could tell he was, but the guy didn't get it. The old chap that was running this business, and it was some boring printing business or whatever, and he was saying, right, what we do, we want attitude in our business, he said, and we want people that are really on the ball and committed to what we're doing, he said, and I want you there on the dot at 9 o'clock. We work 9 to 5. And the lad went, let me stop you there. He said, I don't get up till 10. And the guy said, no, we start at 9. He went, no. He said, I'll go out the night before. 10 o'clock is the earliest I'm getting up. He said. And he went, no, we work 9 to 5. He went, no, I don't. And the lad was right, because he was taking the mickey, really. He was saying, you know, I work with technology. I work with my phone. He said, my phone doesn't switch off at 5 o'clock, you know. I get emails, I get messages, you know, 24 hours a day. He said, you know, we work when people talk to us.
He's always on it.
Yeah, and that is a truism. It's something that we have to adapt to, and it's one of the things we have to learn from Generation Z is that work is flexible these days. Yeah? The old way of doing stuff where you just turned up, clocked in, sat around, drank a cup of tea, had a fag, you know, started work half an hour later, it that doesn't cut it anymore. It's about being available when you need to be available. And Generation Z get that, yeah? What we've got to do is, this is the big learning point for businesses from younger people. If you want to attract younger skilled people into your business, you've got to be flexible. Absolutely. You've got to offer them a working environment that suits them, yeah? It's fascinating. Get involved. If you ever want to get involved, just, you know, everything's free. There's no cost to any of it. It's all about just introducing business people, managers, owners to young people, and we've had a whale of a time, and we've met some really talented kids. There was actually a tweet the other day, Charlie, who was one of the very first students we met. I can't remember if it was Lee Academy or Longfield Academy. It was one of the very first schools we ever done. And there was a lad called Charlie there, and everyone was blown away with how good he is. He's now in the workforce, and he just won a national award for some digital stuff he was doing. It doesn't surprise me in the least. Really talented lad. And we see loads of talented people. And one of the funny things is we quite often get employers say, "Oh, I've just met someone that I think's really good. Can we offer them a job?" You could try. You know, whereas a lot of them come there expecting, you know, the trouble with the youth of today is a kind of approach to it. Good stuff. We got some more guests to talk to. We can do one more email, and then I think we'll talk to Simon and King. Yeah.
Well, this is quite an interesting one. So this is Folkestone-based Gut Health Food Company has won a prestigious award for its True Spoonful of Fibre Inulin Syrup, and for its True Granola products. I had to say it like that. Granola. You know that advert?
I do.
It's granola.
It's granola. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I know, right?
I mean, I don't mind if we die, but it's granola.
You love granola?
No, I'm talking about the other
guy. Oh, granola.
The guy says, like, granola.
I know.
Do you know what?
No.
I've eaten that granola. And do you know what? I ate it before it was available on the market. I remember interviewing them on the old Food Talk show.
Right.
I'm just saying. That's all.
Right.
I've just proven I ate granola once.
I'm not a lover of granola. If we're going to start this debate, I prefer Bircher.
I beg your pardon?
I prefer Bircher. out of the two of them?
I've never heard of Bert. I've no idea what you're talking about, no.
No.
No?
Hold on. Does anyone else in this studio know what Bircher is?
No, just explain it.
Simon does.
It's some kind of pirate food, isn't
What's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Is it pirate
food?
Can you tell us? We'll know.
So Bircher is like soaked overnight oats.
Horses eat that.
In coffee. Richard, you're not coming on again. I thought you were an extraordinary guest and you've just blown it.
But he's right.
Yeah. Someone doesn't like facts.
It's like, yeah, you soak it in kefir and yogurt and things like that, and then it's all lovely the next day and it's just like, oh, rich in flavour. Have I sold it to you? It's not crunchy like granola.
It's porridge.
Yes.
It's not porridge.
Once I hear the word soaked, forget it.
No way.
You like crunch.
I like a crunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you could add this to your Bircher. You could add a bit of handful true granola products.
Is Bircher a local thing?
What, to Kent?
No, from where you're from. To Plymouth.
No. It's not a Devonshire thing, is it?
I don't know.
I think Bircher would be like a Scandinavian thing. Very good for you. Anyway,
okay.
The team behind True Foods Limited were announced as winners.
I prefer bacon sandwiches myself.
I can't stick bacon.
Can you not?
What? No. It makes me urge.
Fake news. She's lying.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm not. I'm serious. Yeah.
Bacon makes everything better.
Yeah.
Even makeup.
Except what?
Even makeup.
That's Richard, by the way.
So let's get back to this. So the team behind True Foods Limited were announced. I haven't lost it for a long time, Richard, but I'm on the verge of it.
She's corpsing.
Okay, so this is 2019 Nourish Awards, which celebrates the honours to the best new generation health. I think that's probably why I don't eat bacon. Health foods in the UK. True Foods were one of the biggest winners on the night, scooping 4 awards. See what they've done there? Scooping 4 awards.
Absolutely.
In total.
Did they soak them overnight?
The winners, no, because this is granola and not Bircher. The winners, and go in the shops and have a look at Bircher. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And I even took Stephen to the door. So he hates things like that, and he's gone really healthy.
And he's Scottish.
Exactly.
And he's Scottish. He's used to porridge and haggis.
Exactly. And the winners and runners-up were judged by qualified and practicing nutritionists and leaders in the food, drink and business sectors. True Spoonful of Fibre was selected by the judges as the most innovative product for being so unique. It is a liquid fibre syrup. That's not selling it, is it? Made from 100%, here you go, chicory root fibre, also known as inulin. And the judges loved the high fibre content. Go on, you're going to say something now, aren't you? Okay, 65% and low GI. Okay?
Yeah.
Good. And in the short, they said, we love this, with many of the judges and the night commenting on the delicious taste. So you can go to True, that's TROO Foods Limited, and you can go www. Eat True, so that's EATTROO.com. I love them. I'm going to go, what?
Have you seen the gif?
No, what now? You're just mocking me, aren't you?
Have a look at the gif from DC Weddings.
All I can say is sorry, King, if it's rude.
Oh, that's all right.
No. Have you found it?
No, not yet. Here we go. Yep, there we are. Richard. So there you go. There's your horse eating Bircher in the morning.
Literally.
Yep. This is what we have on this show.
Oh, that's not.
Finger on the button of business we have on here.
Yes. Yeah. You might be the first to smack the table.
Not today.
Thank you, Paul. I'm sure it was Paul from DC Weddings that sent us that.
He's on it today. He even told me why he called me resourceful.
Did he?
Yeah.
is that broadcastable?
Yeah, it's because I put up with you, he said.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, he's been having a go at me all day. He's been very political today,
why?
Paul. Yeah, he's been very political.
Oh.
Yeah. Listen,
who have we got on?
Why don't we talk to our next guest? Because they've been sat here patiently waiting to talk to us.
And we've spoken about them literally for the last 4 or 5 weeks, every week.
We have, yeah. So it's about time we actually got to meet them, isn't it? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Simon Teague and King James onto the show. And we're going to talk about all the things you do, but primarily you're here to talk about the King's Summit, which is coming up very shortly. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind who speaks. You can speak together. One at a time, all at once.
Can I just say, I can't believe that you actually called it after you, King. You just went, Simon, let's forget about you. Let's just call it after me.
Let's just clarify.
That's what you did, Simon, wasn't it?
No.
Let's call it my summit.
Let's clarify it quickly. I didn't. He named it. No, seriously. I left him to decide the name. He decided the name. So he's got nothing to do with me. Actually, the Kings is there. There's everyone, to be honest. Right. It's just kind of saying royalties. We all... Mm.
We're all royalty.
Real royalty.
Yeah, I like it.
I've got to say, King, this is King James, and you're a pastor in a church.
Yeah.
That's some name you got for a pastor, isn't it, really? Yeah. Because I made the joke, which I'm sure you're so bored with, that I've read your book. Yeah. The King James Bible.
No, I got
it. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't write it.
Did you not?
Maybe the new version, not the old version. No, I didn't.
You've read it a few times, haven't you?
But I've read it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the funny thing, actually, even being a pastor, I don't read King James Version. It's just you know. I feel like each time I read it, I feel like someone is taking me back to the Shakespearean time, where they're saying, thou sittest, thou standest.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I can't understand it.
Yeah,
so.
Get real. Yeah.
No, I don't read it.
So
sorry, we've mocked you, but it was just brilliant. I loved it. There, it's like carry on. Anyway,
so let's focus on what's going on here.
Okay, we better.
So Simon named it after you. Not that it matters. But tell us, guys, tell us what it's about. Because this is the second year.
It's our second year.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you had a very successful conference last year.
Brilliant conference last year. It coincided with the scale-up program that my company's been working with Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce on. And I think over the last 2 years, we've worked with over 100 companies. Very similar stories to Richard's, really, where company directors were seeking some external help and support, fresh ideas, fresh input. I think one of the biggest challenges for most business owners is we find ourselves working a lot in our business, and just to be able to take that time out and speak to someone and work on the business and be holistic. Sorry, Paul.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But to do that is really important. And the consequence of that is we've had over 100 companies really scale up massively in Kent in the last 2 years. And so part of the King Summit is taking the learnings from those companies and sharing it with as many businesses who are in the kind of frame of mind of wanting to scale up.
Yep.
Their business.
Okay.
Many of the principles, interestingly enough, go right back to biblical times. Or most of the speakers last year were Christian business owners, and again this year they're Christian business owners, and that's where King fits in, because he gives us that kind of guidance, and it's rooted in biblical principles and in our love of God.
But you know, those kind of principles are principles that stand the test of time, because they've worked over that long period of time. You know, there's loads of things, not just from a Christian ethos, but there's loads of things from the past that are just truisms and remain as true today as they ever did, because they work.
Yes. Yeah. You know, success knows no bound. It doesn't care whether you're Christian or Muslim or Hindu. If you do the right things in business, you're going to succeed. If you're a Christian and you pray to God and you don't do the right things in business, you're not going to succeed. It's just simple.
Yeah.
So principles is always the best way to go down. So that's what we focus on, principles. Yeah. Of course, we go to one of the ancient books to learn most of those principles. And most of them, it was written by one of the wisest men recorded in the Bible, which is King Solomon.
Right.
In the book of Proverbs, you see a lot of principles that we apply today in a business world. So that's what we try to do.
Right.
King Summit, and I'll leave back Simon to explain further, but King Summit is not focused on being a Christian or none of that. It's about business. It's
business
about
scaling up. Yeah.
Scaling up your business. And one of the things Richard talked about, which we all liked here, is about thinking. You know, Richard talked about how you asked a question, Bert asked a question to Richard, why did you buy two companies? And he said something about he had allowed consultants to have influence in this business, which changed his thinking, changed their thinking.
Yeah.
One of the things we focused on last year was think
Think and Grow Rich.
So,
oh, Napoleon Hill. Yeah, absolutely.
So that was our main focus. So you see that what we're trying to do is to get people to think right in business.
Yeah.
And of course, also a little bit of leadership. So over to you, Sam.
This is interesting, isn't it? And what you find, I mean, I've been in business 30-odd years. I've got 10 businesses. It's so easy to get bogged down in the day-to-day stuff you do. You know, governments are forever inventing new regulations for you to follow. You know, there's loads of stuff to do. And we may even do a bit of analysis of where our business is and why our sales are going down or sales are going up or why we're losing customers or going. We might do a little bit of that. But it's really hard to step out of that and go, where am I? And we've just seen a classic example of a business that couldn't adapt in Thomas Cook.
Yes.
100-year-old business that just failed to adapt to a new marketplace and just got deeper and deeper in debt because they kept on doing the same thing over and over again and borrowing money to keep doing it. And it's a massive shame that they've gone bust, and the people affected by it it's not, you know, it's not right and it's not good, but that's a classic of management failure, isn't it? To think strategically.
It's a real challenge, and you know, you'd be surprised how many companies are still in that place now, especially small businesses, and with everything that's going on in the news, which we're not allowed to talk about.
Nothing happening. There's nothing happening at all.
Then we're not sure. What do we do? Do we scale up? Do we scale down?
Do we pause?
Do we pause? Do we you know, we're stuck, and many companies are stuck. And the winners in this game, because it's the game of business in many respects, the winners will be your competitors who are sat around the boardroom table right now saying, what do we need to do differently? What are other competitors doing? What's the market doing? What do our clients want? Back to Richard's comments. And really having an edge and a different way of thinking. And in fact, bringing other people into the mix, whether they're coaches, mentors, consultants. You know, you used to be able to go to your old bank manager, Captain Mannering, and ask him, you know, what his opinion was, and he'd be able to give it. But we don't have that service and luxury now with our banks. But we do have it with very good coaches, consultants, chambers, you know, people who can give those thoughts and that advice.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Many years ago, I worked for a bank, and one of my jobs there towards the end of my time working at a bank was I was head of futurology, basically. And my job was to predict the short-term future in terms of, you know, where markets were going, what demographics were happening, where technology was driving. And that's an interesting thing, and it's something that I've kind of kept going because it's something that interested me, and I have seemed to have a reasonable skill for predicting short-term flows of things. But it's one of those things that so few people actually do, is to just step back and think about what's going on around them, where things are going. And quite often we don't do that because we don't like what we're seeing. Yeah, because what it's telling us is things are changing, and we've got to change. And humans, one of the things we're really worst at is change. We really do resist change if we can.
Yeah,
but it puts us in the position of needing to ask the difficult questions. And sometimes we don't even know what those questions are. They're that difficult. And that's where something like the King's Summit brings all these companies into one room. Many of the existing companies that are on the current scale-up program with the Chamber and supported by KCC are going to be there. Other companies who are, you know, in that frame of mind of thinking, we want to scale up. What are the current levels of thinking and principles that we can use to give us some ideas? And that's what they'll get at the King's Summit. We've got a really nice balance in looking at a business as a whole, everything from your pricing strategy to your people strategy, and finding good people, as you know, is a challenge for some.
At the moment, it's almost impossible. We have massive skill shortages. It's really difficult to hire. And that's going to get worse. We have 814,000 unfilled jobs. We're about to create another 660,000 new jobs. Construction, digital, healthcare are the biggest affected and the hardest, and hospitality are the hardest ones to fill. You're absolutely right.
So companies need to be clear that who is the right person for your business?
Yeah.
What's the perfect fit for you? Mm. And how do we go about really understanding the profile and the actual, you know, what that person is made up of, their characteristics, their traits, and then go out to the market to find them. And also understand what we need to be doing as a business to retain our very best people.
Yeah.
Because that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Especially in Kent, where London's on our doorstep.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got to do our best to understand what things we can have in place to keep the very, very best staff, keep them motivated, inspired, and get the best out of them.
Yeah.
So these are all the... We have a whole flavour with a whole range of speakers.
Yeah.
Paul, you're running our interview panel.
I am indeed, I'm looking forward to that.
We've got a number of very successful business owners on stage being interviewed by you, asking them the questions about what is it that's made them successful, what should entrepreneurs be thinking about.
Hold on, I'm writing this down.
Don't worry, I'll give you the...
I'm very excited about that. The talk show. We didn't do that last year. Each year we want to just look at what we did and then see what we always take feedback and see what we could add. But I think the talk show one is something we feel like is going to be very good, because from the feedback we got last time, one of the speakers we had last year was a business owner who started from nothing and had so many downfalls and ups and downs. Started in his bedroom and is very successful now. And a lot of people enjoyed his talk because he wasn't really teaching anything. He was just talking about himself. And that's why we added this talk show. So because we feel sometimes people just want to hear, how did you start? Now, when you fail, what did you do next?
Well, the lessons are in the story, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So it's interesting, because when you get talks like that, people tend to be open and honest about their journey. And quite often, one of the things that drives me nuts when you talk to entrepreneurs is they always come out with it, well, I spotted a gap in the market. And I go, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You took a flyer and it worked. Yeah. You were lucky.
You know, you know the lady you interviewed from the radio,
Michaela.
Michaela, sorry if I forgot your name, but no, thanks for correcting me. One of the things she said, and I like the honesty of that, how did you get into this? She said, by a mistake. Just by accident.
It's an accident. The vast majority of us started our businesses by accident. We just messed around doing stuff until something worked, and then we went, whoa, that was a good idea, we'll keep doing more of that. But that's one of the beauties of things, is the reality of it. Because if we're not careful, we put too many people off. It's like when talking to the kids in schools, so many people will come out with stuff like, well, you've got to find a job you love and you've got to do this. And no, you haven't. You really, if you wait for that, you'll never start. Basically, start, do anything and see what happens, and then do something else, It is really how most things happen. And one of the beautiful things I like about what you're doing and the kind of speakers you have is they're talking from the heart about their experiences, warts and all, their failures, what didn't work, how they adapted to that, how they didn't adapt to it, how they were forced to change by circumstance, and how they also changed by thinking their way out of it and planning their way out of it.
How did the two of you come together, Simon and Kia?
That's a long story. It's too short radio.
Two minutes, go.
Okay. From a spiritual...
That was like a loving gaze then, wasn't it?
It's my brother. So literally my brother.
You're twins, we can see that. Absolutely.
We met in a church, a life church, Folkestone, and it was more of a spiritual journey. And actually, which is how we ended up where we are doing this thing together. So being a pastor, my primary responsibility is to help people.
That's
my full-time job. Yeah. I do video editing and all those kind of when I get a business. Yeah. But my focus is pastoring people and helping people. So met Simon in church, and long story short, it was just trying to find his faith, his faith in God, and that's what brought us together. And then without talking too long on it, because it's a long story, which is a lot of spiritual. go on, Simon.
Yeah, I think there was a symbiotic relationship instantly. I was seeking a faith and to understand what that was, and King was the right person to talk to about it. And King had a vision about starting up a church in Canterbury, in Blean, and I have all the kind of business coaching, planning, expertise and knowledge. That's good. I said to him, well, if you're going to start a church, you need a plan.
Yeah.
And so really, well, there was
we kind of were coaching each other. So I was coaching him spiritually. He was coaching me in planning, putting down. But we had a program. Okay, you're starting October the 1st. So what do you need to do this week? What do you do next week? So while he's coaching me on that plans for starting a church, he was coming also for some discipleship training on learning about faith and growing in God. So it's just kind of relationship that we both allowed each other to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And then
we've done all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
We've been out to Nigeria on a mission with the King Summit.
King Summit
to help 130 business owners in Nigeria to understand how they can...
And we're going next year as well.
Build their business. Yeah. It's been good fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Listen, guys, it's interesting, and it's funny, not funny, but it's how these coincidences, you know, it's like we were talking about earlier about Antarctica, how people are thrown together in one circumstance, and that leads to other things. Mm. I'm a great believer in this, you know. Life is about connections. It's about an unfolding story of ongoing things, and you can either make a connection or not, and you can choose to go off in a direction or not, and... there are so many paths you can take, but you can only take one. And when you take it, you have to deal with what's happening on that path. And you can branch off, you can, you know, but one of the things that I've always found in business is that you have to make a decision and go in a particular direction. And then if it starts to fail, there's no harm in stopping and going in another direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I said, sorry, bear with me. I'm not necessarily I will always mention as a pastor. So, one of the things I talk about a lot as a pastor is the power of association. And that's very, very important in business. If you don't associate with the right kind of people, you're not going to learn the right kind of things you need to learn. Mm. So in every area of life, you always have to find the, like, you know, you said he stole a business. He said, no, I'm just collaborating. That is actually the basics of life.
Yeah.
You always have to, you don't have to be master of everything. You just find the person that you can associate with that covers the areas that you're not so great at.
Yeah.
While you're working on the thing you're good at, because of your association with this person, you are learning.
Yeah.
You're almost like a captive audience learning something new. And that's what happened with me in the area of business. I wouldn't call myself the world brilliant business person, but because of association, I'm learning a whole lot.
It's interesting, isn't it? We have this thought, for instance, that people invent things. Mm. And you go, who invented the telephone? Well, Alexander Graham Bell. Mm. He actually didn't, yeah? basically, inventions don't happen by one person sitting there going, bingo, I've got it. There are a whole series of things that happen that other people are looking at that you put together, and then somebody grabs the credit because they were the last one standing when it all came together.
Yes.
And then we attribute those as the inventor of X, Y, or Z. But the reality of, if you look at the history of anything, there's people all over the world looking at stuff and doing stuff and bringing things together that are all added together to arrive at a point where something new comes out of that. But it's never one person. It's always a whole heap of people. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. It's about the connections you make and the people you deal with and the people you connect with.
Yeah, there's something you said earlier I was itching to go back to.
Yeah,
because it's part of what we focused as well with King Summit last year. You've talked a lot. I heard you talk a lot about the things you're doing with the young children, young kids, the Generation Z and all those students. And we really, that's part of our aim as well for King Summit. Because every time we think about business, yes, it's good to make money, it's good to get wealth and all that. But if we don't leave the right legacy for the next generation, it's a waste of time. Yes, yeah. You will enjoy all the wealth you've done,
yeah.
but if the next generation is not coming up to learn the right kind of lessons, it's almost a waste of time. This is one of the things we talk about. I talked about it last year. Last year, legacy was one of the things we were driving at. Mm. And when I hear what you're doing, I'm really, really in awe of that.
Yeah.
And I want to just congratulate you with that.
No, thank you. But you're absolutely right. You know, unless we pass things on in terms of experience and you know, inventions, talking about inventions, you know, you get to a certain point, nothing's ever finished.
Mm.
Nothing's ever finished. You pass on what you've got so far and somebody in the next generation will build on that, make something different. You know, it's why I'm an optimist about the world. I'm very optimistic about the world. Even when we sit there and we hear people, you know, going, we're all going to die in 10 years' time, I really do think that we're not. And the reason that we're not is because there are loads of clever, committed people out there that will find solutions to where we are. Just one statistic, which really I saw it the other day, and it's one of my favourite websites, and it's basically the statistic was this: the population of the Earth has grown exponentially in the last half century. Yet, for the first time in history, we've almost eradicated famine.
Mm.
There are fewer people now that starve on a regular basis than there've ever been in history.
Mm.
Yet the population grew dramatically. And the reason for that is we've developed technology, we've developed resources, we've developed ways of doing things to help people cope with that. And I think you're absolutely right, King.
Yeah.
It's about passing those things on and letting the next generation grow them and invent new things and
again,
build on what you've done before.
Old King Solomon would say in the book of Leviticus, Ecclesiastes, it says, of what use is it for me to get all this cash and spend, you know, get all this money and work hard and wake up in the morning and go to bed late and after all that, I don't even know if the next generation coming would deal with it properly. So and at the end of it, he just ended up, after with all his wealth, he ended up saying, this is meaningless. This is useless. And the reason he's saying that is because he didn't raise the right seed or children to take care of his. And that literally happened to the King Solomon because his son came and wasted everything. He did lost the kingdom, actually, that he had. So this is actually very important that we business people listening here, if you're doing business, very, very important also to think about family, to think about the next generation. Don't just think about just making money. Make money, please, please, please make money. We need money.
Yeah.
But make money with the mentality that what is my legacy when I'm gone, when I'm done, what's the legacy I'm leaving?
Mm.
And it doesn't have to be necessarily your own personal child. It's actually the world that we live, the earth.
Mm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The great thing is that many, many companies that are in the Scale Up program and many companies coming to the King Summit are actually family businesses.
Yeah.
And we've seen a very high proportion of those family business in what we call handover stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's kind of mum and dad, if you like, wanting to pass it on, but kind of not wanting to pass it on.
Don't want to let go. Yeah. You don't want to do it like that. We didn't do it like that in my day.
You know, the youngsters maybe in their 30s now or whatever kind of want it, but kind of don't want it.
Yeah.
And there's this period of time where there's a little bit of a tussle whilst we understand exactly how we can make sure that this business that's been here for 30 years is here for another 30 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's a big piece of work. When we talk about scale up, it's not just about growth, but it's about building the house on a rock.
Yeah.
And it's about making sure that all the foundations are in place, that this business does have a long-term future. So it's kind of scalability and sustainability. Mm. And we really get under the skin of that when we get everybody in the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, we could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
But sadly, we're almost at the end of the show.
Oh.
It's gone really quickly, hasn't it? Listen, tell us when the King Summit is and where it is.
Okay, it's on the 10th of October.
Yep.
So we're not very far away.
Yep.
It's at Canterbury Cricket Ground.
So okay, the Canterbury Cricket Ground.
Venue.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Harris Suite and the suite downstairs as well. And people can find out about it on thekingsummit.com.
Fantastic.
And we would like to give a shout out to our sponsors this year. Last year,
we've got several major sponsors this year. Wilkins Kennedy, who are a big fan of it, and HR Go Recruitment.
Right.
There are two major sponsors. The Chamber of Commerce are promoting it.
Right.
And it's in partnership with the Chamber this year.
Fantastic.
We have a whole range of stuff. And we have some other kind of secondary sponsors. They'll be there on the day.
And we do focus on helping charities as well.
Mission Aviation Fellowship is the
most. Oh, yeah, I know Mission Aviation.
Ruth will be speaking there as well at the event. So that's a great charity for us all to support because it in turn helps hundreds of other charities reach people on the ground in remote locations all around the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Guys, thank you so much for that. We look forward to seeing you there on the 10th of October at the County Cricket Round at the King's Summit. For the moment, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon. I just want to Paul from DC Weddings just sent me this as well. You were talking about Burger King and McDonald's earlier. Cadbury's have got a thing where they've taken all the words off of their wrappers. Yeah, and they've donated our words to help 225,000 older people who often go a whole week without speaking to anyone. And they've donated their words on behalf of that. And I think that's primarily concerned with dementia charities. Yeah. And just while I'm mentioning it, I want to say a huge big shout out to Denise Wilton. She just got her 3 million badge. That's 3 million people have become aware of dementia, and she has been a huge, huge influence on getting businesses to be dementia aware, and she's run workshops and all kinds of stuff, and she's just got 3 million badge for that. So fantastic, well done. Have you got anything that needs reading before we go off air?
No.
Good, because I have.
Do you like that? I just want to say, though, it's really funny, and I know we're really run out of time, but you say about family, and I interview so many people about businesses and why they do what they do, and family, that is the biggest trend, that's the reason they do what they do. Yeah. It isn't the money. Yeah. It isn't the wealth. Yeah. The wealth is the legacy they leave to their children.
The Kent Business School did a survey a few years ago of small business owners and asked them what was their primary motivation for starting a business. They asked 17,000 businesses, and creating money wasn't high on the list at all. That's it was good. All
never
kinds
money.
Of other reasons.
They think it's time, and that's rubbish, because it doesn't, you don't have any time. Yeah. But it is family is the reason you do what you do.
Absolutely. Listen, fantastic, everyone. I've got a couple of things that we need to cover. Have you got any more tweets that we haven't read yet?
No.
I think there's quite a few.
We've done loads, but there's nothing outstanding.
I want to tell you about this. It's Joanne Price sent me this. So I was wondering if you could help promote a brand new murder mystery play, which comes to Chilham Village Hall on the 4th and 5th of October. It's called Henry's Last Party, and it promises a night of mystery and laughter. Tickets and more information can be found at henryslastparty.co.uk. It would be great to get the word out about this brand new piece of theatre, which has been written and performed by local people. Thank you so much. That's from Joe Price. So do check that out. That's henryslastparty.co.uk. Have a look at that. Sounds like a lot of fun.
And one that we always love is the University of Kent Business School. And this is their soundbites. And this is Breaking Down Barriers, Achieve Professional Success. And this is the Kent Law School in association with Girling Solicitors. This is at the Simpson Building. I'm a great lover of this event. 26th of September. And that's 5 till 8:30. If you want to connect with people who you don't normally want associate with or in networking, go there. You've got academia, you've got business, you've got both coming together. And that's
www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Fantastic. As I said, there's a couple of events taking place this week. There's the Southeast Construction Show at Arding Lye at the Sussex Event Centre. There's a Tech Expo. .co.uk at the Kent Event Centre at Detlin. Do check that out. And of course, that Kent Summit is on the same night, on the same evening. It's all happening on Thursday. It's all happening on Thursday. Do check that out. I've got, what else have I got here? I've got this. I need to do this just before we go off air. Can you help? Bobber Job is no more.
I never knew that until last week. That's terrible, isn't it?
They
don't do Bobber Job anymore now.
No, Bobber Job was...
I know, Richard.
That was brilliant.
You don't know Bobber Job?
No, please.
I used to be
educate me now.
Yeah, it was a thing that the scouts used to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A bob
was a shilling in real terms.
But you're not allowed to anymore, apparently, King.
Yeah. No, they stopped it years ago. It stopped.
Look at Richard's face.
You can't say 50 quid a job anymore.
No.
I literally have nothing to say.
Anyway. They're trying to raise money by doing clear-ups and clean-ups. So if you want to find out about it, then go to GoFundMe.com, Deal Scouts Big Litter Picnic, and check that out. But we've reached the end of the show. That's 2 hours now, all gone, and a fantastic discussion.
Great show.
Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back next week with another show. Have a fantastic week. I'm going to be at the Tech Expo on Thursday, so I'll see you there.
And I'm going to be on my show tomorrow, so see you there.
And Bird is on The Conversation at 1 o'clock here on channelradio.co.uk/2. We'll be back next week. Yeah. Have a great week. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.